Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for your midweek motivator with CB and the boys. With your hosts, Crystal CB Booker, and the boys, George Biker Boy Hallman, Roger Hawkins, and J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas. Get set for music, motivation, conversation, and fun. Now here's CB and the boys.
Wow. Hey, hey, everybody, and welcome to CB and the Boys. I'm CB, your hostess with the mostess. Got one of my boys, Mr. George Biker Boy Hallman, in the building. What's up, George?
Hey, hey, hey. What's going on?
And how are you tonight?
I'm good. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Geared up, dressed ready. Look, geared up and dressed ready for the season opener here in 4 days, 3 days.
Next week on the 12th. Yes. I am waiting. And in case you don't know, guys, what we're talking about, football season starts on September 12th.
Sunday. This coming Sunday. Three days away.
And I cannot wait. I'm so excited because the Chiefs are going to what? Dominate again. Yes. Sorry to say, you Raider fans, you San Francisco fans, you, who else do we play? Oh, you Browns fans, you Bears fans, and any other fans that we have on here. I'm sorry, but the Chiefs are going to beat you and beat you so bad. It's okay, though. There's always next year for you guys. No, I'm sorry. We're going to be
no.
Okay.
It's going to be a while.
A long
we
while.
We came to hang out.
We came to win. Forget a hangout. We came to win. The Chiefs came to win. And that is what we're going to what? That's what we're going to do. We're going to win. Without a doubt. So, George, hopefully Roger Hawkins will be in the building, and hopefully J. Lee Ducey Man Thomas will join us later on tonight. That would be nice, but if not, I guess we'll be holding it down. Mimi Acosta did say she would join us later if she could, so hopefully she'll make it to the show. Are you all right there, George?
I'm good.
You catch COVID, I'll kill you.
Shoot, COVID, I hope it don't catch me.
Right. That's the right attitude. That's definitely the right attitude. So, any tales from Wally World you want to share?
Man. My tail's got tails.
Well, do tell.
I'm saying, you know, I mean, we had a crazy person in there today. Now, here's what I don't get. If this motherfucker is certifiably crazy, something wrong with it. The elevator don't go to the top floor. She's about 6 beers short of a 6-pack. And you know what I'm saying? Everything from the neck up is just broken. If you know this and it is medically certified, why would you give this person a house and call yourself giving her a caretaker who doesn't live there and doesn't go over there except for once in a blue moon to check on them? why is this woman walking around Walmart talking to herself, talking to the clothes, talking to the just anything, having a whole conversation about shit, and she was mad. She was cussing somebody out. I don't know who the fuck she was cussing out, but that motherfucker was in trouble. Her imaginary friend was in trouble. Come to find out, she didn't just walk out the house and walk down to Water World. I said, what you mean she walked to Water World? Well, she only lived right down the street. What you mean she lived right down the street? Well, you know, we have houses and for those people with it, they actually live in and this and that and this and that and this. And I'm like, well, ain't somebody there watching this? Can you lock your door? Put a fence up or something? You just let them roam wherever they feel like roaming? I guess that's what they do.
Wow.
So we had to chase this woman down around the damn stove. And then so the police gets a hold of her, calls the ambulance. They put her in the ambulance. The ambulance people got to check them out because it's policy. That's the way they got to do. They got to check them out. Well, I don't know what you're checking out. We already know that she's off a rocker. And then the people from the company that's her caretaker stand outside talking about her. We talking about the situation. And it's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to have to, she's going to go to Western Missouri. What you mean? You already knew she was cuckoo. Then you put her in a house by herself. And because she decided to walk to Walmart, now you want to send her to the crazy house in Western Missouri. She should have been there in the first place. Don't let her out. What the hell is she doing out? If she's certifiably crazy, why in the hell is she able to walk these streets? That don't make no sense to me, you or Jesus. I mean, I'm just saying the things you see. And this dude, tell me how this dude going to get caught stealing, get rounded up by the police, hand him his ID, and then run. Really? You big dummy. You going to hand up your ID and run? Ain't this a bitch.
America's
the fuck were you thinking? So then this motherfucker got out the door. He's running. Our security's running. A couple customers started running. The police is running. And they ran. This dude took them on a wild goose chase all the way around the whole parking lot. You know how big Walmart parking lot is? He ran around the whole parking lot just to make a big circle and come all the way back to the door he started at, which is where his truck was parked.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, you got loose. The truck was 10 feet away. Instead, you ran the other direction. So you're going to run, take everybody on the foot chase around the whole parking lot just to run back in your truck and jump in it.
Wow.
Like he forgot he had a truck. He just had to run. Sure, got to go. Oh, wait a minute. I got a truck. And he's going to run back to his truck, hop in it, fire it up, take off like a bat out of hell, about hit 10 customers, about hit 14 cars, peeling up out of the parking lot, shooting off down the street. So the police is looking at him like, really?
Mm-hmm.
The cop gonna grab the radio and say, yeah, he's headed westbound on 350. Great pickup. You hear him over the radio. Yeah, we got it. You big dummy. I don't get it. All over Snickers and a pair of dollar shorts.
Wow.
You ain't stole $5. Now you're going to jail.
Dang.
Don't make sense to me.
Wow.
But then you got the real smart. They come in. They walking around the store shopping with whole baskets. and they got bags and they stuffing stuff in their bags and they carts and they walking around. They looking at all the doors and trying to find the exit and figure out like they ain't being watched. There is 65 cameras in Walmart.
Mm.
And it's a mother of all watching every last one of them in a little bitty room. And this dude walking around, this dude, and this girl, they walking around. They talking to each other on the phone. Anybody over there? No. Anybody over here? No. We can get over here. So then they do the smart shit. And AP will radio the person at the door and say, hey, there's somebody trying to steal. I want you to go away from the door so they'll walk out it.
Wow.
So the Walmart employee will walk away from the door. You know, they always got the door at every door. They will walk away from the door and set them up. Walk away from the door.
Wow.
While they watching it. Now, these people don't realize that Walmart has made a path for you. Everybody on radio. Everybody knows that all the people at Walmart are on radio. But you ain't realize or recognize that suddenly, magically, no matter where you go, there's no employees. And you know you're stealing. Can you not see this is a setup? You smart-ass dummy. And they're going to proceed to try to walk out the door, not realizing that outside the second set of doors is about four police officers waiting for them to come through the door. As soon as they hit that door, they'd be on the radio with the police officer. Yep, they hit the first door. Okay. And they meet them in the middle. Handcuff them and parade them across the store all the way back to the office. They've been in there for 2 hours walking around with a basket full of shit trying to figure out how to get out.
Wow.
Smart-ass dummy. That's all I can say, smart-ass dummy. Every time I see it happening, I look and I just start singing, well, another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one's gone. And another one's gone. Another one bites the dust. I don't know what the fuck these people be thinking.
Man.
I got more respect for the dude that grabs the TV and just runs out the door. I can respect that. Oh, he just said, fuck it, he's stealing it. He's taking it, and he wasn't going to do shit about it. Said these other motherfuckers that spend 2.5 hours trying to be slick and only to get busted.
So that's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's
every day.
Every day?
That is every day. The events I just got through talking about was today. But that's every day.
Wow. That is so crazy.
You think these people would figure it out?
Wow.
And some of them been caught 2 or 3 times. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't get that either. I do not get that one either. Well, as you know, if you just joined us, you're listening to CB and the Boys. We come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivator here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch us live on YouTube as well as Facebook. You can also visit us also on Vigo Live and listen to the show and watch us do the show. And you can catch our playback on Apple Podcasts as well as iHeartRadio. So definitely go to all of our platforms, like us and subscribe. And as I said, we come to you every Wednesday for your Midweek Motivator. So back to the show, CB and the Boys. And if you want to weigh in on our topic tonight, feel free to give us a call at 516-418-5603. Again, that's 516-418-5603. Or you can come and chat with us at our YouTube channel, CB and the Boys. So back to the show. So, George, as you know, our topic tonight is an interesting one. And what prompted this, now what do you know about fetishes and sexual fetishism?
Well, I know I only got one fetish, and that's boots. I like
that's
boots.
What?
I said that's boots.
Well,
boots.
I don't.
I like boots.
Boobs are not a fetish. That's just your preference.
My boobs. Boots. B-O-O-T-S.
Oh, it's boots.
To wear on your feet. Boots.
Okay. I wouldn't call that a fetish. I think that's just a preference. You prefer to wear boots rather than the other regular shoes.
Not boots on me. Boots on her.
Ah, any type of boots?
Anything boots. Just boots.
Okay. But that's
I'm not talking about not some big ass clod hopping concrete wearing construction boots. Like some high heel boots, dress boots.
Yeah, I figured it out. I think our listeners figured that one out.
I like boots. Especially the tall knee high boots.
That's very sexy. That's not a fetish though.
Boots.
That's your preference. That's what you like. A fetish is something more intense. So let's get into it. So basically, what prompted all of this was there was a news story that caught my attention, and this was on the New York Post, which it boggled my mind how someone could do this. So here's the deal. There was this gentleman named Yuri Polachko. And
that is your first problem. His name is Yuri.
Yes. Yuri Polachko. And this kinky beefcake is proof that love is strange, or at the very least, a viral thirst trap. According to the New York Post, and let me see. Give props to the reporter by Rob Bailey Mulatto. What Mr. Polachko did, he's an infamous man who married his sex doll named Margo. He married her last year in November of 2020. He married his specialty design sex doll Margo last November in a wedding ceremony attended by dozens of guests. He has now divorced Margo for something else that caught his eye when he was making an appearance. He's found a new love match, a giant ashtray he wants to adorn with an artificial vagina. You can't make this
what?
Up. Oh my God, you cannot make this up. This is so weird.
Did you say a giant ashtray?
A giant ashtray. He's in love with a giant ashtray that he wants to adorn with an artificial vagina. So he's in love with an ashtray now, whereas before he was in love with his sex doll and married his sex doll at a real wedding ceremony, which was attended actually by people, shockingly. So where did the pansexual 36-year-old hairball of muscle meet this bizarre new love? at the club, of course. Although the proudly bald social media star from Kazakhstan noticed the ashtray a while ago, he claimed it was only when he arranged a photo shoot with the butt receptacle during a paid personal appearance at the venue that he discovered he had feelings for it. So yeah. And if he,
that's not a fetish. He's just cuckoo.
And the ashtray looks like it's one of those ashtrays that would sit like at a club, like one of those, the big tall black ones, and people would, you know, put their cigarettes and stuff out in it. It's a tall standing one. It's short, but it's tall. It's not like your regular ashtray that sits on a table. So he said, when asked
you
about
sound
this,
like you're trying to justify it.
And when asked about this, Yuri Telachka said, I have a special passion for objects. They have always been alive for me since childhood. This is certainly not the same as a person. These are completely different feelings. This is akin to how a violinist can love his violin, which is 300 years old. I liked it, the smell of it, the touch of metal on my skin. It's fantastic, he proudly declared to reporters. I like the touch of sharp metal on my skin. It excites me, so I think you can understand what attracts me to this ashtray. Rumor has it Telachko met his new love while estranged from his wife, Margot, with whom his marital bond was reportedly broken sometime last year. So he married the sex doll and has since divorced her for an ashtray. Telachko also claimed he's been dating his ashtray for a couple of months now. And while his new love, let's call it AT, shall we, is older, he's of the age, ain't nothing but a number mindset. I generally like things with history, Telachko said. I love that this is not a new ashtray. It has had contact with a really large number of people. AT also helped him satisfy a once secret fetish for dirty stuff, he admitted. When I hugged it and pulled out cigarette packs and all sorts of stuff, I liked it, he said. I liked it when the ashes stained my bare feet, body, and beard. Ugh. Why? Like, just why?
I'm not sure who's crazier, him or you, for even embracing this article.
Who said I embraced it? It caught my attention because it is so very strange, and it caused me to do some research and see just, you know, if this is really a thing or if this is an isolated thing. And there really is a thing, a fetish, where people are actually getting off on inanimate objects, like quite a bit. Quite a bit. And it's crazy. Like, I mean, it's crazy. Believe it or not, Telachko's far-fetched fetish could actually be a real paraphilia, which is commonly defined as a condition characterized by abnormal sexual desires, typically involving extreme or dangerous activities, according to the Oxford Dictionary. So what he has actually is a thing. Also on the paraphilia spectrum, object sexuality widens the net to include people who develop deep emotional and or romantic attachments to and have relationships with specific inanimate objects or structures. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. So my question is, like, why? Like, why?
That's not necessarily a fetish. They actually have a name for that, and it's called objectophilia.
That's what I just said.
I mean, that's not a fetish. But that's even worse than a fetish. That's crazy.
Yes, but it is considered a fetish. It's a form of fetish, but paraphilia is a real thing. And we're going to get into that. So according to WebMD, and I always cite my sources, guys, so all my listeners who want to read up on this some more, the last one was the New York Post, which has the story. So you can go to thenewyorkpost.com or this next part is from WebMD, and you can definitely go to WebMD and check it out. So basically, what is a sexual fetish? According to WebMD, while you might like the sight of your partner in a pair of high heels or boots during sex, that doesn't necessarily mean you have a shoe fetish. A fetish is sexual excitement in response to an object or body part that's not typically sexual, such as shoes or feet. They're more common in men. Many people with fetishes must have the object of their attraction at hand or be fantasizing about it, alone or with a partner. In order to become sexually aroused, get an erection, and have an orgasm, a person with a fetish might masturbate while they hold, smell, rub, or taste the object, or they might ask their partner to wear it or use it during sex. So the most common fetishes, really people can fetishize about anything, but there are many websites about lots of fetish interests, such as according to Dr. Richard Kruger, MD, an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at Columbus University, anything you could imagine, he says. According to a study, the most common fetishes involve body parts such as feet or body features such as obesity, piercings, or tattoos. The feet are by far the most common. Body fluid, body size, and hair fetishes aren't far behind. After body parts comes things you wear. The same study put clothes worn on the hips and legs, such as stockings and skirts, at the top of the list. Footwear, then underwear, ranked closely behind. Fetishes that involve the feel of a certain material, often leather or rubber, are also common. Some people like dressing themselves and their partner in furry animal costumes. And I never realized that, but that also is a fetish. And there are people that actually have sex with their animals, which is insane. Now, the question is, where do fetishes come from? Again, WebMD, sexual behavior experts don't agree on the causes. Some people trace their attraction back to early childhood before they were aware of their sexuality. A fetish can also come from seeing inappropriate sexual behavior during childhood or from sexual abuse, says Dr. Kenneth Rosenberg. He's a psychiatry professor at Weill Cornell Medical College. Are fetishes okay? A sexual fetish is not a disorder by definition, but it can reach that level if it causes intense, lasting distress. Whether someone is doing this by themselves or with a partner, If they're happy with it, then it's not an issue, Kruger says, as long as it causes pleasure and no one is being forced to take part. My patients come to me because they feel it's a problem, Rosenberg says. Their behaviors are not interesting, fun, or even sexy. They are not simply experimenting with novel means of sexual expression. They are desperate, compulsive, and sometimes so distressed by their behaviors that suicide is a consideration. When it's a disorder, it feels out of control. Someone might disappear from work or home to practice their fetish in secret. This fascination could also keep them from doing their job. A physician could have a foot fetish, for example, and spend a large amount of time and attention on his patient's feet, Kruger says. People with these disorders might also steal to get the object of their desire. Often they can have meaningful sexual relationships with other people. They might prefer to have time alone with their object, even when they're in a relationship with another person. If your partner said, "Wear a pair of sexy shoes tonight," you'd probably say, "Why not?" But if your partner said, "You can sleep in the other room, just leave me your shoes," that would be a problem, Rosenberg says. Standard treatment includes medication and talk therapy with a psychiatrist or counselor. Still, some fetishes can be harmless. A recent study on adult baby diaper lovers, and that, yes, guys, that is a thing. this study found that among nearly 1,800 men and 140 women who report having this fetish, most said they were comfortable with their fetish and that it wasn't a problem. The same can be said of people who enjoy bondage, discipline, or domination, sadism and masochism, commonly known as BDSM, Rosenberg says. As long as everyone agrees, then chances are no one's getting hurt in a way that is extreme or permanent, and everyone's happy with what's happening. So what'd you think of that article, George?
I think it is absolutely nuts. People in it or not, the people they talking about it or not, the people that wrote it are nuts, the people that printed it are nuts, the people that handed out the paper it was written on are nuts. I almost want to say the people reading it is nuts.
Why is that your take on it?
That is just nuts. To be in love with intimate object sexually.
Yeah, an ashtray.
No. No. That don't make sense. And then it got, there's nothing you can say to convince me that that makes any kind of sense.
Well, no, that doesn't. But just to say that, you know, his paraphilia is, it's serious to the extent where he's actually marrying these objects and dating these objects, where he wants to put a vagina on the ashtray, which is absolutely insane. Like, completely insane.
Completely cuckoo.
So, cuckoo for cuckoo puffs. I mean, it's like, he's one fry short of a Happy Meal, like, seriously. And it makes you wonder.
Ten fries.
But it makes you wonder, it's like, do people do this for attention? Or is this really how this person feels? I mean, it's just, it's so insane to fall in love with an object. I'm like, does it talk to him? Like, I just don't get it. How can you look at an object and fall in love with it? I don't get it. You know? you could like go shopping for a car and then find one and be like, oh my God, I love this car, but you're not in love with it where you want to marry it. So, I mean, it's just, there's so many different fetishes out there. And, but there are some that can be harmful and some that can be harmful, not just to the person who is, you know, experiencing the fetish, but harmful to everyone else. And that's when it's not okay.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I want to meet the ordained minister that married people, that marries people to inanimate objects.
Right.
Because he got to be halfway cuckoo with that himself. I'm just saying. I'm sitting here looking at a man that married his smartphone.
Yeah.
Somebody in Los Angeles married their smartphone. We got a man married to a steam engine train.
It's insane. And the fact that it happened.
I mean, they got a woman that been married to Berlin Wall. How's she pull that off?
Your guess is as good as mine on that one. It's insane. I mean, the fact that these people really exist and they did this, it makes no sense to me. Sexual fetishism or erotic fetishism is a sexual fixation on a non-living object or a non-genital body part. The object of interest is called the fetish. The person who has a fetish for that object is a fetishist. A sexual fetish may be regarded as a non-pathological aid to sexual excitement or as a mental disorder if it causes significant psychosocial distress for the person or has detrimental effects. And that was from Wikipedia. But it is just, it's insane that
there is a woman in Pennsylvania named Amy Wolf Weber, that is married to a roller coaster.
Did you say a roller coaster?
Yes, a roller coaster.
How the hell do you marry a roller coaster? I want to know. I'm with you. I want to meet and talk to the ministers who ordain this union, who blessed this union. I don't understand. Can you imagine going to file your marriage license and you're married to a freaking object? Like, make it make.
How does it even work? Who writes marriage licenses like that?
Man, that's what I want to know. Like, what state would even recognize that?
Let me give you this woman's name. And when I tell you her name, you're gonna know what she's married to. Erica Eiffel.
Hmm?
Her name is Erica Eiffel.
Eiffel? Like the Eiffel Tower?
So what do you think she's doing? Exactly.
So she's married to the Eiffel Tower in Paris?
The Eiffel Tower. Yes.
Where'd they do that at? How?
Apparently in Paris.
The hell? Seriously? She married the Eiffel Tower. Wow. Make it make sense. That's just crazy. That is just crazy. It's like there are no words. I'm literally at a loss for words. Like, make it make sense. That makes no sense. at all. It makes no sense. Oh, my gosh.
Here's a Taiwanese man named Chang Hsiung, 46 years old, and he's married to a Barbie doll.
My God. Yeah, I want to know who goes to these weddings.
Right.
You know?
Who's the witness?
Right. Like, what? Like, make it make sense. That is so crazy. So what would you do if, say, one of your partners comes to you and tells you, you know, I'm getting married, man. I found the one. I'm so excited. And you never met her. And then you go to the wedding, and he's marrying a mannequin. What would you do? What would your reaction be to that?
I would laugh my ass off. I would laugh my ass off right at the wedding. Right in his face. Are you serious right now? Yeah, I'd laugh my ass off. Absolutely. Right in his fucking face. I wouldn't even care.
You'd be the best man.
You laugh my ass. I'm gonna laugh. I laugh. And I Facebook Live that shit. Look at this fool. I have him on Facebook Live. So, here's the epitome of conceit. There's a 39-year-old Chinese man married a picture of himself.
What?
He married a picture of himself.
How the hell is that even possible?
I guess he makes him horny.
Oh, my God. How do you marry a picture of yourself? I just want to know how these people are marrying objects. And it's okay in the eyes of the law, in the law and the courts and like, who officiates these weddings? I don't understand. I just make it make sense. I don't get it.
There's a man married to an iBook.
To a what?
An iBook.
An iBook?
Yeah. You know, it's a laptop. It's a Mac laptop. Called iBook.
He married it.
So so you supposed to get a divorce if it dies? If it breaks and stops working?
Yeah, that is a possibility. Does he use it?
Yeah, there's a picture of him using it.
So you wake up and say, good morning, honey, to your computer. That is freaking insane. I thought I heard it all when I saw the report about this guy dating an ashtray and wanting to put a vagina in it. That's insane. That is so insane. So, like, what if this person wants to have kids? Do they not realize that you can't have a kid with an inanimate object? So, one would have to wonder.
I guess they'll adopt.
That kid will be scarred for life.
If he adopts, he's going to be an iPad.
Oh, gosh. Go to parent and teacher conference. Here's my real dad, but my mom's an iBook. Make it make sense. Or my mom's an ashtray.
Right.
Make it make sense. The one thing like comes under like the fetishes and stuff would be like, have you ever seen the show My Strange Addiction? They've had some really, really weird ones. There's this one lady who was from Kansas City, and she liked to eat the mattress foam. Yeah. She ate.
Yeah, I've heard of some people eating some strange stuff.
She would eat mattress foam. There was another lady, and the one I just talked about with the mattress foam, she's from Kansas City, eating mattress foam.
Wow.
She ate all the foam out of her mattress to the extent where her mom won't let her in her room because she'll start eating her mother's mattress. And mind you, this is a grown-ass woman eating fucking mattresses. Which makes no sense. And there was another one where her addiction was she was addicted to eating dirt. She liked the feel of the grainy in her teeth. So she would, at bars, she would eat ashes out of the ashtrays because she liked dirt.
Yeah. I think I've heard that before.
It's insane.
I think I've heard about that person before.
Yeah, the things people do, I don't get it. There's this other one, this dude who liked to eat tree bark. He liked the crunch. Tree bark.
That's crazy. That's just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty far out there. It's pretty out there. It is out there. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. No sense at all. It's like, make it make sense. So I often wonder how a person comes to get into something like that. Like, how do you start eating a mattress? How do you start eating dirt? Like, why?
You want to know why?
Yeah, I do.
I can answer that for you.
Okay.
There's actually a medical reason for that. So a lot of the weird things you hear people eat.
Yeah.
They actually have a nutritional value. And the body craves it. And it just knows where to get it from. And it just craves it to a point that some people do that. It's just like people eating soap. People that eat soap are usually people that are low on iron. And they'll chew on soap chips because they're low on iron. It is like, I actually got a friend that eats baking soda. Like, really? Just right out the box. Just get a box of eight soda, open it up, and start eating it.
And what did you think when you first saw them do that?
I thought she was lost her goddamn mind. Something wrong with her. Something absolutely wrong with her. That's what I thought.
So I would definitely agree. I totally agree. That is just so weird. That is so weird. And there's so many weird things, you know, that people are addicted to. It makes no sense. It's like, make it make sense. It makes no sense. But it's really a thing, you know. And it's a lot of people that fall under this category. And it's just like mind-blowing, mind-boggling how people fall into that. I don't understand. I live to be 100. I'll never understand that, like, at all. At all. Like, at all. Like, make it make sense, and it just doesn't.
Yeah, they have a complete medical explanation for that.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. There's certain things that their body gets from it. They're short on, and that's where they go to get it.
Wow. That's just, wow. It's kind of sad when you think about it, that someone, you know, is doing it because their body is craving it, so they feel they have to. It's kind of like being hooked on narcotics and things like that. They go out and do it because they feel they have to satisfy their body's craving for it.
It's weird. So I'm gonna give you 25 things that people eat that aren't food.
Okay.
Paint. Mm. Soap. Chalk. Magnets. Batteries.
People eat magnets?
And batteries. Urine.
Ew.
Glass.
Damn. Why?
Toilet paper. Dry sheets. Glass cleaner. Cigarette ashes. Couch cushions. Metal objects. Mothballs. Bed springs. Rings. Coins. Cobblestones, toothbrush.
Hey, George, we got Roger in the building. Hey, Raj.
What's going on, people?
Hey.
How are you?
How you doing?
What exactly are we naming off here, G?
25 things that people eat that are not food. And one of them, believe it or not, number four is dentures.
Dentures? They eat dentures?
Yeah.
Why? Like, make it make sense. Oh, my God. Why? Where'd they do that at? Crazy.
Cockroach, hair.
Back that up. What
cockroach.
Did you say? You said a cockroach?
Mm-hmm.
People eat roaches?
People eat bugs anyway. So cockroaches
right,
no different.
Bugs
I
anyway.
Mean, you know, yeah, people eat bugs. It's just weird to us.
Right.
Why would people eat cockroaches? Like, is that a delicacy somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a staple. A lot of places, believe it or not, just not America.
Yeah.
Like bugs and insects actually have a pretty good amount of protein. You've heard of people eating chocolate covered grasshoppers, caterpillars, all that crap. So yeah, cockroaches are no different. We just look at them as, you know, nuisance and vermin and all that because of, you know, the stigma that surrounds having roaches in America.
Hmm.
You know what the number one thing is?
What?
What?
Human ashes.
Ew. Ew. Why? That's so gross. Ew. Ew. Why? That's cannibalism. Why?
Look, they start the article with most of us love our relatives to death, but this takes the expression out of a whole new level.
Oh my God.
Now some things I can see doing if you know, obviously if you're starving to death, if it's necessity or whatever, but when things turn into kind of that craving or whatever, it makes me wonder how you get to that point. There are some weird ones. I don't get the whole metal, glass and all that shit. I do believe that, you know, there's a deficiency that can cause like something in the brain to go, hey, we need iron or potassium or whatever, and you do what you have to do. Like, you know, poor people in the South used to eat red clay. But I don't understand some of them, like light bulbs and shit like that. Where does any of that come from? Where on the planet is there a deficiency in your diet that causes you to eat light bulbs and whatnot, you know, pianos and shit?
That part.
Or eating mattresses. There's a girl in Kansas City who eats mattresses. She ate all of the foam out of her own mattress. Her mother won't let her go in her room for fear that she'll start eating her mother's mattress. She has to literally padlock the room door.
I don't know. I believe, now here's what I'll say. I do believe, of course, a lot of this crap is for publicity. I mean, I've seen the one with the little girl who ate nail polish, supposedly, and like you said, the mattress and all that. I find that hard to believe because I don't see how your body can tolerate large amounts of anything that isn't digestible without killing you. So I do think that we're kind of we're using a lot of the terms loosely by ate a whole mattress, not as bull, because you can't digest any of the components, be that spring, foam, or whatever. So I don't know if I believe all of that.
Well, on the show, My Strange Addiction, her story was on there, and she was actually eating the foam out of the mattress. She was showing how she does that. And so on the show, she went to a doctor so that the doctor could let her know the dangers to her body. And when she saw the doctor was saying, you know, that's not healthy, you know, and she was having some medical problems as a result of eating mattresses. And she didn't realize, I guess, how much damage that she had done to her colon because of eating foam from a mattress. And so she had vowed that she was going to try to stop and get some help because that's not normal. And she realized finally that it wasn't normal. And I'm like, how can you not know that it's normal?
She realized finally, really finally. And again, I think we all appreciate a lot of these hayseeds for the entertainment that they give us. But again, like I said, it's just like the young lady who, you know, drank nail polish and all these other things. I find it hard to believe that your body hasn't completely begun to reject, you know, almost everything else and shut down because of something like this. I just find it hard to believe. I mean, again, trace amounts of anything, I guess, you can take for a long period of time. That's been three lead and all kinds of stuff. But the idea of, you know, foam and cloth and stuff like that, and then when they talk about, oh, they ate, you know, this person ate a car. All the car, the metal, the seats, bullshit. You show me you dining every day from start to finish, and I'll believe you.
Well, What about this man in China that eats live bees?
He eats what?
Live bees.
Live beans?
Bees, like bees. Bees. Bumblebees.
Oh, wait a minute.
But, okay, but
the honey nut cereal bees, motherfucker.
Well,
how the hell? Well, okay, yeah. How do you eat a live bee? Like,
you
would
put it in your mouth and swallow it.
You don't chew. You don't chew.
You just
I almost did it by accident.
Right.
I was drinking a beer, and this bee was flying around. Well, little did I know that the bee flew down in my beer bottle. And I went to drinking the beer, and looking down at the bottle as I was drinking, I seen the bee as it passed into my mouth. And then I spit, and it came right out of my mouth on the ground. I stepped on it.
Wow.
And that's crazy.
That mug would have stung your ass and your uvula, you'd have been done.
I'm allergic to bee sticks and wasp stings.
Wow.
That'd have been your last.
That's the scary part. That's the scary part about it. And I tell you this story, but guess what? This just happened like a couple weeks ago.
Wow. So this man eats live bees and is still alive?
They say that he often just lays there, smothers his body in bees naked.
What?
Yep.
Make it make sense. Oh, my God.
I mean, apparently he's built up some type of immunity to, you know, bee venom and things like that, which, you know, you either are immune or you can build it up kind of like anything. But as far as eating like live insects, that's not really unheard of. There are a lot of other things that are eaten, sometimes swallowed live and whatnot. It's kind of morbid, but people do it. So I can believe that a lot easier than some of the other man-made, non-organic objects that you cannot digest.
Right.
So that's wackadoo. So would you? I mean, if you were starving, would y'all eat like insects or roaches or anything like that? Would you just kick the bucket?
You know, I can't call it.
I say no.
I don't.
No.
I don't know.
I feel like you can say that shit with a full stomach. I just don't think you've not been close enough to starvation. I think we all say that shit, but again, you haven't been like walking toward the light and then be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm eating this handful of beetles just so my ass won't eat tomorrow. I just think people say, nope, I'm going to die. Hey, you know, I know people that bitch about getting a headache because they haven't eaten all day. You know, you holler at me when you haven't eaten for 4 to 5 days. And then I'll believe you just don't know.
Right.
I still say no.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's easier said than done. I mean, and again, I mean, if you can, I ain't saying you got to grab a handful and do that, but, you know, dress them up. I don't know, put the shit in some peanut oil, you know, put ranch on it. You know, folks love ranch, but I can't say. I think people, I don't know. Like, it ain't a whole lot. Again, I have a pretty tough stomach, but I can't eat like a, you know, like on Fear Factor, all the gross shit. I can't do that.
Nah.
Well, everything that they had people eat on Fear Factor was something that people eat somewhere in the world.
Yeah, it was a delicacy somewhere. Surprisingly. But yeah, that is true. That is true.
Absolutely. It has to be.
But I'm not going to eat a bowl of worms like I'm having spaghetti.
They make it so nasty, though. Oh, my God. I always say I could do any of the physical challenges. I'll do anything scary. I would lose every time when it came to some of the shit they make shakes out of and things like that. Yeah, your boy's done. I just can't do it. That's one of those. It's tough. But, like, you know, people always talk about that, oh, the movie Alive, when the soccer team went down, they kind of had to resort to cannibalism. I was like, yeah, well, compared to some of the shit that they mix up in those shakes on Fear Factor, yeah, that's all right. Just, you know, bury me in snow, I'm cutting, you know, leg bone and shit.
Right. Right.
Well, according to...
I'm definitely with you on that one.
According to ContinuumInnovation.com, they pose the question, why do we love inanimate objects? Have you ever wondered why you have such a strong emotional connection to objects? Why do you love your car, your headphones, or even your favorite pen? It's probably because a lot of thought went into the design of that product to ensure it would evoke the right logical, visceral response from you. So basically, if you think of it as a war going on in your brain, although it is an oversimplification of cognitive science, it is a commonly held belief that various areas, not literally physical areas, of your brain will process stimulus in different ways. So that's interesting because people who are in love with inanimate objects, something in their brain has clearly snapped where they feel it is okay to be in love with an inanimate object. Which makes no sense, like, at all. So, Roger, what prompted our topic tonight was there's this gentleman, his name is Yuri Talachko. Let me see if I'm pronouncing that right. Talachko. I told it right. He married a sex doll named Margo last year in November of 2020. And he had a real legit wedding with guests in attendance and everything. Well, he's divorcing Margo because he is in love with something else now, a giant ashtray that he wants to put a vagina on it. So, yeah.
People, you know what he's in love with? He's in love with attention for doing stupid shit. That's what he's in love with. It's just like some people will never feel significant unless they do things for shock value. If you think about it, most people don't really have anything that stands out enough to make people go, ooh, I really want to know that person. You know, some people are very talented and have a lot of things about them. Some people just, they get up, go to work, they are who they are. This individual apparently really missed out on a couple of hugs growing up because that's nothing but, again, I'm all about the, you know, the ploy for attention is what drives, like, so many people now. So you can't, you just cannot be, you can't really be in love with anything that can't truly elicit a human response. I mean, you can, like you said, you can love your car because it's your car, you worked hard to get it, it's your favorite color, but it is what it is. But you can't, you just can't, like, really elicit that kind of emotion over something like headsets and all that. It's just one of those, it's a comfort. I think convenience and comfort and things that make our lives easier, definitely we develop some attachment to them. Obviously, you'd rather drive than ride the bus, wouldn't you? But, yeah, you love your car. And then again, if it's the car you've always wanted, favorite color, I get all of that. You're not going to walk down the damn aisle, kiss your car appropriate. Come on. That's goofy. A sex doll and a big-ass ashtray. Hey, what?
You would be surprised. No, there are people who have had relationships with inanimate objects.
sometimes when you see a couple on the street, the first thing that comes to our mind is how did these two get together, whether it's because of the age difference, physical appearance, or if their personalities just don't match. We can't help but notice. But the couples on this list that I'm about to read that they compiled would definitely get your attention if you saw them together. These are the relationships where one partner is a human being and the other is an inanimate object. So there is this guy, he's an engineer in China. His name is Xing Jiajia. He is a Chinese engineer who was frustrated that he couldn't find a life partner, so he decided to create one. The man built a life-size robot named Ying Ying that can recognize Chinese characters and images and speak in simple sentences. Jia Jia, who is an artificial intelligence expert, built Ying Ying at the end of 2016, and the couple tied the knot in April 2017, and they are still married.
No shit. They are still married. I mean, hey, you know what? Each his own. I don't, you know. I think people like that, you know, they should have their own special little planet. That's cool. But you know what? If you're happy and not bothering anybody, fine. Don't give a shit. Marry your teddy bear. Marry your spare tire. I don't care. You know, build a clubhouse and marry you. Knock yourself out. You're not hurting anybody. You know, weirdo, but hey, do you.
Well, there's a woman from Berlin named Sandy Kay. She had an unusual love interest. When she was only 8 years old, she fell in love with New York City's Twin Towers. She even has an anodized aluminum facade model of the original towers that she snuggles with. Sandy said, when it comes to love, I am only attracted to objects. I couldn't imagine a love affair with a human being.
That's because she'll never have to worry about having one. That's why.
Well, this next guy, Aaron Chervinik. We all love our phones, but Aaron Chervinik, a Los Angeles filmmaker, took it to the next level. He married his cell phone. His marriage was his attempt to draw attention to the fact that for many people, the closest emotional connection they have is the one with their phone. Chervinik explained, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we connect with our phones on so many emotional levels. We look to it for solace, to calm us down, to put us to sleep, to ease our minds, and to me, that's also what a relationship is about. So he married his cell phone.
Yeah, that's general. Somebody who's got mommy issues and has never had sex with a real person. That's why. First of all, if you have to be comforted and put to sleep on a regular basis, you're a grown-ass boy. You are not an adult. So, again, some of these people that we're discussing are just a little left field. And they deserve the object they married or whatever. Yeah, I wish the hell I would be like, I need to be comforted at night. I need to be tucked in. You know, he's probably one of those dudes that likes to wear diapers and shit and go to those fetish parties, too. And, hey, if you do, that's your thing. I'm not mad at you. But guess what, buddy? You can't come out in public like that. And the whole, he probably, you know, wants milk and cookies in the story and shit at night. You know, I just don't look to my phone to comfort me like that. Sorry. If nothing else, it'll piss you off when it doesn't work. So I guess that's a relationship too, huh?
Yeah.
But what about the Chinese dude that married a picture of himself?
Oh, yeah. He married a picture of himself. I'm like, make that one make sense. I don't get
so
that.
So if the screen cracks, is that considered catastrophic aging? And then he's got to, like upgrade to is that cheating? So you got to upgrade your phone. Did you now divorce that phone because it was old and ugly? I mean, I'm just trying to ask him for a friend.
Well, that's the same thing I said about the dude with the iBook. if the dude married his eye book, I said, well, damn, if his eye book goes down, you know, what are you going to do?
Right.
He's talking about,
you're going to cheat. You're going to cheat.
He's talking about what they want to do about kids. I said, well, hell, he can have an iPad.
These people were born for our entertainment and not to be taken seriously. That's all I can say.
Well, this next one, Richard Torres, a Peruvian actor and environmentalist, married a tree in 2013 to bring awareness to environmental issues. We can conclude that he wasn't in love with his wife, since he wasn't particularly loyal to her and made marrying trees into a habit. A few months later, he married an Argentinian tree in Buenos Aires. A year later, a Colombian tree in Bogota. And in 2016, he married a cypress tree in Mexico.
Player, player!
So, be a tree polygamist.
Right, right. I'm like... Clearly, my man likes that exotic thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, he probably got Bart Burns all on his wacky. You know, but hey, at least he's international. Goofy ass. Y'all ain't going to never outdo Dennis Rodman when he married the whole city of New York. That nigga had on, you know, foundation, blush, all that kind of shit.
Well, this next one, a 27-year-old from India, whose true identity is not revealed, but who is known as Maria, is in love with the logo for the Motorola Droid phone. I love wearing it on my clothes. I love the Droid commercials so I can see Droidy in them. Maria and Droidy have date nights, as regular couples do. They watch movies together, they kiss, and they cuddle.
I really hope he gets electrocuted for jerking off next to Droid, and I just hope his, you know, his whole little dick gets burned off, and the Droid smiles about it. People like that should not be allowed to contaminate the free world. It's just the truth.
Do you think Motorola could sue him for marrying his logo without their permission?
I would say so. Yeah. Why not?
I'm just saying.
It's almost like if you don't get your parents' blessing, don't you think?
Yeah. I have to agree with that one. I'd have to definitely agree with
I would love for these people to get together and try to out-weird each other. Because that's what would happen. Just try to out-weird one another.
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a party.
This next woman's name is Amber. She's 20 years old, who is a member of Objectum Sexuality Internationale, and who manages OS Positive on Tumblr and Twitter, is in love with water and a trading card. She is often hurt by her family's interpretation and dismissal of her emotions, because they try to convince her that her affections are directed towards the character on the trading card and not the object itself.
Liz,
but no.
The fact that they still talk to her, she should be thankful. Because I can't swear that I would. Let's just be honest about it. You know, I'm not claiming that relative in public, at the barbecue, not nothing. Walking around with your date Aquafina and all this bull.
If she got offended and she's in love with water, she ought to be the cleanest person you know.
I mean,
yeah.
Hey, what if she can't swim?
Well, this next one is even crazier, Sal 9000. Although the Japanese internet community is no stranger to marriages between two avatars, a Japanese man who goes by the username Sal 9000 shocked everyone when he, a human being, decided to marry
Mimi and Nagasaki and Avatar. Mimi is a video game character from the Nintendo DS game Love Plus. Sal 9000 was 27 years old when they got married, and the ceremony was streamed online and witnessed by thousands. And they are still married to this day.
Yep, to that electricity goes out.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, this one definitely makes sense. Her name is Amanda Whitaker. She claims that she fell in love with Lumiere at first sight. The fact that he is 57 years her senior wasn't an issue for her, nor was the fact that Lumiere is actually a chandelier. Amanda admits that Lumiere is not the first chandelier she had a romantic relationship with. She is in an open relationship with 24 other chandeliers.
Oh, yeah.
She's a chandelier hoe.
Yeah. I've seen that one on it.
Yeah, where are you finding this shit? That's what I want to know. Where is this crap coming from? And how do I make sure it never shows up on my computer? Like, I don't even know how you can come across on any of this mess.
I
got off that side. It had too many pop-ups.
I'm getting this from the website Illumiably. And it shows in this article people who have had relationships with inanimate objects. And
yeah, I was looking at that same list on a website called Ranked. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
I done graduated to weird food now. But we got to talking about food, so I'm looking at weird food now. Like, if I go to Mexico and I go to get some tacos, I will make sure that they are not tripos tacos. T-R-I-P-A-S. Tripos tacos. It's a delicatessen in this delicacy in Mexico, and I guarantee you don't want it. Just remember that. Tripos tacos.
It's stomach lining, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah,
they call it. Yep. Well, do you guys like lamb fries?
Like,
no,
ooh, lamb fries.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I've never had it, but I can only imagine what that might be.
Would you be willing to taste it?
I don't taste anything, sight, unseen, smelled, or felt. Yeah, I ain't gonna taste it, you know. Ain't no damn, you know what? Remember when they used to do that taste test, put the blindfold on you? Fuck, hell no, no.
Well, lamb fries are lamb testicles.
Oh, mountain oysters.
Yeah.
But...
They call them it's like Rocky Mountain oysters out of the bull crap, you know, like same thing.
Right.
Bull balls and goat balls and all, they gotta have all these things, fries and this kind of thing. You know you're being fed up. You know you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like I said,
so I'm looking at this list of strange delicacies from around the world, and USA actually has one on here.
What?
Weirdest foods in the world. Deep fried butter balls.
The turkey?
No. Literally butter balls. Balls of butter that have been fried.
Why would you
fried balls of butter? It's fried butter.
Yeah, but how do you fry it without melting it? That doesn't make sense.
Well, if it's cold and you make it in a ball, and then you bread it, you can fry it.
But it would still evaporate.
Apparently not. Because
how
I'm looking at some right now.
How is that possible? That's
do it. Deep fried butterball.
But butter when hot it melts. It doesn't.
It's just like cheese balls. So does cheese balls. What's cheese made from, butter?
No. Cheese is made from milk.
Same thing butter is made from.
Unless it's buttermilk.
Listen, let me tell you about this country. This country will deep fry anything. This country
right.
found a way to deep fry. If you can deep fry ice cream or Snickers, which on one hand is impressive, but at the same time, damn, how do you do that?
Right.
Like, that's what I'm trying to
do. I've had deep fried ice cream.
Deep fried
Oreo
ice cream.
Was good.
Yeah.
Fried ice cream. Hey, remember Annie Santa Fe? I know I'm dating us, but back in the day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I had it.
I knew it when you had it.
I used to work in Santa Fe.
Yeah, because it's like, how do you deep fry ice cream without it melting? Like,
yeah, I'm sure there. We should. Yeah, we'll look that up. We'll look at the how to's.
Yeah.
That'd be one of our
very quick.
That might see we get the ingredient for that. That might be something you can't pulverize and destroy in the kitchen, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just putting a challenge out there. Challenge out there.
It's all right. In the Philippines, they eat woodworms.
They eat what?
Woodworms.
What the heck is a woodworm?
So
just what it sounds like.
They take old rotten wood. The wood is then cracked and cracked open in order to extract the slimy creatures from inside. Once you crack open the log, you can find the temelot clams wriggling through the wood, making holes as they go along.
Yeah, it's really. Done in Australia, but they're called grubs.
Well, yeah, they're called that everywhere, I think. But anything that's a worm before it turns into whatever, if they are grub, larva, etc. But that's what I was talking about earlier when people are talking about, like, you know, literally they eat mealworms and all kind of, you know, grub and larva in a lot of places because they have the protein. You see people like Bear Grylls and all that kind of stuff, you know, when they're out in the woods and all that action. You know, that's what they eat. You know, you have to eat something. And so would you ever think about doing that, the whole naked and afraid thing? I actually entertained that one time. I said I would do naked and afraid. I think that would be cool. Not the naked part. I mean, hell, I can do that anytime. But I mean, just like from a survival standpoint, like would you ever be one of those to try that, like survivalist type joint?
Because it's considered because it's considered a delicate, I would eat grubs. If that's all available.
So now just earlier you said you wouldn't eat it. Now what if cockroaches are considered a delicacy?
I would not eat a cockroach.
Because why? What is the difference?
It's a cockroach. And the grub is.
You're not selling this. It's a cockroach. One's a grub. You have a hissing beetle. You have scorpions. You have grasshoppers. Every one of these has been eaten. You have mealworms. What's the difference?
Well, I would
what
say.
What about?
Hold on. What's the difference?
I would say if that is the only food that was left and you don't have a choice, then I would, you know, fry it up, cook it up, do whatever, you know. And I guess if you cook it, that, like, you know, gets some of the germs out.
It might be safe to eat. Who the hell knows?
Hey, look, I'm eating cockroach and jelly sandwich. What I'm not going to do is check out. Not from that anyway. I'm not checking out from hunger. I'm going to try a whole lot before I do that. There are things I probably wouldn't do, but starve to death is not one of them. Not if I can help it. And I get the fact
What about roasted or fried or roasted fat bottom ant?
What the hell
roasted
is
or fried
that? What's the
fat bottom
like?
Ant?
Is it little or is it big?
When they're roasted, they look like grapes. I mean,
they look like
when
grapes.
They're fried, they look grapes. And when they're fried, they look like peanuts.
Peanuts?
Whose nuts are they? Whose nuts really are they?
They're fat bottom ants.
So
it's an ant with a real fat bottom.
Oh, you know what? I have seen those. I always thought that was just like the queen or whatever. That's like actually a whole like group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole species, the fat bottom ant.
I'm in.
And it's a
like I said, matter of fact, I hope they pop like popcorn and puff, because if I'm starving to death, ain't shit I'm not eating. So I hope they pop.
It says that they're a great source of protein and even considered to be an aphrodisiac.
Really?
Oh, hell.
They have a smoky flavor. They have a smoky flavor and are quite crunchy.
Like peanut?
Kind of. Like that flavor.
So if you ever want
to put a lot of
those next to you, they'll be sitting on a bar next to the beer.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, I don't know about all that.
Wow.
But yeah, you know. Just goes to show.
You think they sitting around eating peanuts? They actually sitting around eating fat bottom ants?
Well, they made it this long. It can't be lethal.
I've never heard of the fat bottom ants, but that's interesting. That's very interesting.
Google it. See what it looks like. It's funny.
But I'd eat it. If it tastes
because
like
fat
a peanut.
Bottoms, it ain't normally insect.
It gives new meaning to the word rump shaker. I guess you can say it's an ant shaker.
I bet you when they drop in there, skid it.
But yeah, I would totally eat that. If there's nothing else left, and it's a source of protein, why not? You have to have protein.
I don't know. Talk to your resident vegans. They don't think you do.
Damn. They got this. China has an egg called century egg. And what they are, they're black
eggs
of a duck or a chicken or a quail. And
they age
them 100 years. And then you can eat them.
Yeah
I forgot the – they basically they bury them underground. And they, you know, they do all kind of other stuff to it, but it supposedly aged it 100 years. I think technically it's only like a couple of weeks or whatever, but it sounds incredibly disgusting. It's just that's throw up city right there.
Would you eat one if that was all the food that was left?
Yeah, I'd have to have a paper. What you call it? A clothespin on my nose. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you do what you got to do, but. Yeah, would I be happy about it? No. Not at all. But, yeah. That versus taking out, yeah.
How about stuffed moose heart?
Stuffed moose heart.
Yeah.
That didn't even sound appealing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I spice that real lean, put that between some, you know, some toasted bread.
You ain't got to go far to get it. It's something they make in Canada.
I wonder if it tastes like steak. Like after you cook it.
I don't know, but this looks good. This I would eat. Crocodile skewers.
It's called what?
Crocodile skewers. You know what a skewer is, right?
Oh, I love alligators.
I've had gator, and the one thing about that, depending on where it comes from, it can taste like gritty. Like, so like if you have gator and stuff like that, I mean, again, it's good, but it definitely has to be cleaned effectively to get rid of the gritty, kind of silty, which I guess is kind of hard if it's a crocodile or an alligator, but, you know, some people can do it better. I've had that with no problem. I'd eat that with no problem.
You know, maybe the people who eat dirt, maybe they should eat gator, because it seems to me it'd be gritty, you know, to the extent where...
So how about if they're eating dirt, they probably don't have access to said gator, you think? You're probably not going to be eating dirt if there's meat available. So more than likely, they're eating wish sandwiches. I wish I had a damn sandwich. Shit, I just I'm like looking at a chicken going, boy, I sure wish I had some ham. Man, I ain't got no damn gator.
I don't think
gator is actually an option. I just don't. I just don't. Yeah, probably not.
This one, I would
think we take for granted.
In Argentina, they eat bull testicles.
I can see that.
A lot of places.
You could do that?
I said I could see that. I didn't say I would eat it.
No, she said she could do it. Hey, you know how crazy and anti and angry and anti whack man, Crystal Gifts, and she's like, if I could just bite the balls off of these guys that bother me and they can never procreate. See, I think under that situation, you'll probably be all too happy. You're like, yeah, let me go ahead and bite off that shit. I don't know. You said that a little too quick.
Now, wait a minute. In Thailand, they eat the shrimp raw. And it's still alive.
They eat every damn thing in Thailand.
There's some places
still
they eat
alive.
Octopus. Yeah. They eat octopus, too.
Yep, they do that. They a lot of places eat, like, fish, you know, like little goldfish and, like, smaller fish. They just swallow them whole, which is really kind of cruel.
Yep.
Because it's one of those, I don't know if you feel it wriggling or what. It's just some weird wackadoo shit to do, but people do it.
They have goldfish swallowing contests.
I'm passing on all of that.
I'm gonna lose that immediately.
I mean,
if you cook anything, I don't care. You're probably eating parts of it without knowing anyway. I'm just talking about, you know. If you cook it, I can tough out anything if you cook it. I mean, under the right circumstances. I don't give a shit where it came from. If it's organic.
So you need an animal testicle?
I just said that. If you can cook it and I'm hungry, I'll tough it out. Like, that's not a big deal. People do it all the time on purpose.
So try this. That tells you try this on the thighs. How about kayak in Greenland?
Ooh.
These cuddly kayak, these cuddly looking auk birds are killed by the hundreds and stuffed into a dead seal to make kayak. The seal is then sealed up to be completely airtight, covered in oil to repel flies and maggots, and then fermented for 3 months.
Oh, hell no. I don't know about that. My thing is, The whole spoiled thing, the fermenting and spoil, I can't do it. Like, I could damn near eat anything if it was freshly, you know, fixed up and dressed and all that. But, yeah, you mean to tell me I've got to eat something that's been, like, sitting there stewing for weeks and all that? I just don't know if I can pull that one off. That's what I don't know. Not sure I can pull that one off.
On Vigo, we have a message
from Mr. Q3. He says, I mean, we eat animals in general, you know. And he also says, look up roach milk. So, George, look up roach milk since you're looking up the food.
All right, well, ask him if he'd be interested in eating the South Korean penis fish.
The what?
In South Korea, they have what's called penis fish.
Penis?
I bet they do.
Yeah.
I'll just bet they
it's actually just a fish that's shaped like a penis.
Exactly. I didn't even know there was a fish that was shaped like a penis.
Yeah, it's called penis fish.
Some people might be getting a little excited now. Some people might be getting a little excited here.
What did you say I was looking up? Roach milk?
Yeah.
Yeah, roach milk.
He said roach milk.
Hey, where that fish is? Where they do that? I'm a name him.
I didn't even know how roaches would even make milk.
It corrected me and said, did you mean cockroach milk?
Yeah.
Right. So that's
really a thing?
Yeah.
How did milk from a roach?
Well, I mean, let George look it up and I'm sure he'll invite me.
Cockroach milk is a protein-rich crystallized substance produced by a specific type of cockroach called Diplotoria.
Who's the what?
Diplotoria.
Diphtheria?
That sounds like a disease you can get.
This species of cockroach is unique because it gives birth to live offspring.
Oh, okay. Not eggs.
I'll do that?
Interesting.
No. They hatch
no,
from
they
eggs.
Don't. They lay eggs. Yeah, they lay eggs.
Oh. So this one actually gives birth?
Yep. Damn, scientists think cockroach milk could be the next superfood.
Yeah. I'll pass.
And I'm gonna let those individuals try that shit. I'm gonna let them test it out. Cause who's not gonna be like any food is your boy. I don't go first on shit. I'm not that volunteer, dog. I'm not that guy.
Nah, not
that,
me.
Ooh, me guy. Not your boy. I'm not. No. Ooh, me. No.
No. I'll take a no for $1,000, no.
Yeah, that's a hard no.
That's a hell to the no.
I was talking about that. Do you realize how they kind of play us with that whole word superfood? Have you noticed that there's always a catchphrase every year or every so often in this, you know. And it's kind of a good, you know, it's kind of funny how you do that. Like they tell the kids, eat your spinach and all that bullshit, but this country's good for that. We love catchphrases, trigger words, all that shit. So I love that term, superfood. So what they're doing is going, eat your damn vegetables like they told you years ago, but now they call it a superfood. You got a bunch of dumbass grown-ups thinking they're going to fucking sprout x-ray vision and be able to fly because they're eating greens like they should have been doing their whole dumbass life.
Right.
So, superfood. And then it should crack me up. An international team of scientists found this. Now, cockroach has been around for how long? Fucking
ever.
Way before us.
Dinosaurs. Just dinosaurs.
Ever.
And they just found this this milk mid-gut of a cockroach in 2016.
What?
And after testing it, they found that it's more than four times as nutritious as cow's milk.
Ew.
I just can't care.
I can't do that one. I'll pass.
I'm gonna let that one go.
Yeah.
Just based on the fact that the way that you have to, I know about normal cockroaches, the way that you have to get them to come about is you have to be filthy. So the idea of, I'm just going to pass on that. I'm going to let that one rock, I'm not saying it's not, I'm not saying it ain't something to it, but I'm probably not going to find out.
Yeah, I have to let that one go.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to find out.
On that. I won't be having any glasses of coffee.
Oh, my goodness. So this is what they've done. So feasibly, you what it would take to get a glass of this milk, right, a serving. What it would take to get one serving of this milk, which is like, the nutrition in one serving of this milk is like more nutritious than probably like 80 gallons of milk. You know what I mean? About
what
the way they described it. But the nutritional facts of this milk. But what it takes just to get one serving is unfeasible.
Billion cockroaches.
Right, exactly. They don't even give a number. They just say it's unfeasible. So what they've done is, they've taken the milk and fabricated it.
So that it could be
reproduced in a large quantity.
So it's fake cockroach milk. Wow.
Pretty much.
Make sense.
Again, I say I'm probably going to err on the side of no thanks. I'm just gonna let that rock.
Yeah, that's a no from me.
I'm just gonna let that rock.
Yeah, but I have to say no thanks.
Well, when they get through playing with all this, I'm pretty certain they're probably not gonna put cockroach milk on the side of the box.
Yep, you're right. It'll go up under another, some other moniker, but you're right. It'll definitely have a fake name. They'll give you something scientific, because they know folks ain't reading.
And it's true. And it is true. There are many people who do not read the labels. They just grab it, throw it in their basket, and keep it moving, and not realizing what they're that happens more often than not. And it's a damn shame because it's important to know what you're putting into your body. You only get one body to take care of it. And it's important to know what you're ingesting in your body. It's important. It can be a matter of life.
The problem is when unless you do extensive research, and I agree with you 100%, but how many people have just all day, every day to research every ingredient? I saw something interesting. They did a side-by-side comparison, and I don't know how accurate it was, but it compared, like, just normal food that we have here in the States with several different European countries. Like, and they did things like cereal, everybody's got Fruit Loops and, other so-called healthy snacks and whatnot. And on average, the American products had 2.5 to 3 times more extra ingredients than the other objects. It was really, really weird. I'm gonna have to look it up. But it was like, let's just take cereal. Like theirs had, a little certain, like about 5 or 6 or 10 ingredients. And in ours, it's the length is different. Chemicals, I can't even call them ingredients, chemicals. And that's over and over and over again, every single thing we have. And of course, that's because money's in the medicine, and they I hate to say it, I hate to sound like that, but they really want you to be sick because there's trillions of dollars in medicine. I don't want you to die right away. I want you to be sick and pay me for, a remedy. And it's just crazy at the things that are illegal in the other countries that are mm-hmm. totally acceptable and utilized every single day in our day-to-day products, everything we use and everything we put on and wear. It's crazy. It's unbelievable, actually. So
it is.
I find that pretty interesting. You know, just because it's like, damn, man. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty wild. You know, I think about that. I think about that, and it's just like, yeah, they don't care.
It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. And it's sad because especially now more than ever, especially, you know, during this COVID era, people really, really need to be more mindful of what they're putting in their bodies.
Well, I think it still goes to say, you know, we have to be that much more vigilant, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
again, it's just kind of one more enemy to come at you, if you will.
Yeah.
But I think again, the severity of it is, you know, most people unfortunately want a pill. Give me a pill, you know, give me a drink, give me a shot, give me something that's going to, you know, knock this out. And
mm-hmm.
you know, we can talk about the rest later, not the answer. And I really wholeheartedly believe in that. Let your food be your medicine. Let your medicine be your food as much as humanly possible. Shit, even that's hard when the quote-unquote medicinal food is tainted. Damn. And I noticed it's different. When you go somewhere different, like go to Mexico, even though, you know, they're considered, you know, our, you know, lesser sibling or whatever, the food, the fruit, things like that, way better, way more fresh, way more organic without all this extra, you know, stuff. And you can tell because look at America. Everything is so damn big. Shit. Lemons and grapefruits the size of damn footballs. Over there, this looks like normal food that you would once have seen. Over here, you know, we got chickens the size of goddamn ostriches. So it's just, it's everywhere. But I still try to, you know, holistically take care of myself as best as possible because you're right. I mean, it's coming from every angle. It really is.
Right.
Like your body doesn't have what it needs to fight, man. That's an uphill battle. It's tough.
So what's your take about people that are starting to take horse medicine as an alternative?
I think it's just hilarious. Mm-hmm. I think it's hilarious. I mean, and again, not that I wish anything bad on anyone, but it's kind of like when people, you know, when certain people said to drink bleach or to take other items and things like that. How can I feel bad for you if you just go out on a limb and do that kind of shit with no research? And I don't care if Dr. Duflicky told you to do it. Like, and again, that doesn't mean it does or doesn't work, but I can't blindly just follow some stuff like that. I can't, you know, again. I know, I guess, if you're sick or injured or whatever, we tend to get desperate. It blows my mind completely. You know how hard it is to mind boggle me and stump me? But I am completely damn stumped on that shit. Completely.
I'm right there
with you. I just can't
you.
Figure out how all of a sudden, yeah, let's go grab that. Not saying that it's unfounded, because guess what? A lot of remedies and things that they use for animals, they get that, obviously, you know, from, you know, we have some of the same things and vice versa. I mean, different concentrations and maybe certain additives, but, again, there's a finite amount of naturally occurring chemicals and things like that in the world. So, you know, clearly, if it works for one, it can potentially work for others. But I know with horses and things like that being the size they are and still having quite different genetic makeups, why in the hell would you take something that's made for goats or for horses or for cows, you know, without any research being done? I don't care if you come to me and go, oh, yeah, it'll be fine. I'm a doctor. Doctor, your ass up out of here. You do it. Let me say you do it. And then come talk to me in 2 weeks. And if you got a horn growing out of your damn forehead, then we'll know it doesn't work. But I'm not going to be the lab rat. Yeah, I'm not with it. But hey,
if people want to be the guinea pig, God bless. You know what? Let me know how it goes. You know? I don't mind free entertainment.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, guys, let's look at.
Yeah.
It's been real fun, but sadly our time is done. We are down to only moments left within the show, 3 minutes.
Before we went off, to those who are viewing us on Facebook and YouTube, allow me to flash this up on the screen so you can see.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
The upcoming show.
I'm a co-host, not a boys right now.
CB and the boys present Estella's Brilliant Bus Concert. Right there. In the flesh. It's happening. West Palm Beach, Florida. So
let's do it.
Yes.
Get your stuff together.
Hey, George is going to be there with his CB and the boys thong on. Don't miss it. I'm telling you, he's going to do something strange for some change. You know, CB's going to be there with her grass skirt on. And after that, you know, it's up to y'all's imagination. Like you said, me, you know, I'm going to be normal. I'm going to be there, you know, because I might have to have on my, you know, my father's collar and all that. I'm going to have to take care of those heathens.
I'm going to have on my CB and the boys T-shirt with the beautiful rainbow colors. And I guess you guys will have the solid ones because you won't wear the rainbow.
And then
blue just happens to be my favorite color. What you want from me? Damn.
I got to follow that up with this one, of course. Because shortly thereafter, after the show is over, we have the Royal Caribbean Labadee Hay, CB and the boys' first annual cruise party. Hey, hey.
Yep, yeah.
There it is.
So excited. The cruise is going to be lit. And it's so fun because we've got some listeners coming on the cruise with us and some guests who are our family coming on the cruise with us. It's going to be amazing. Just amazing. The first of many. Definitely. The first of many.
That's what's up.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. This year can't go by fast enough.
It will.
Yeah, I know. Especially as time comes closer and closer. So we know
so
that.
Jump in where you can, folks. Get in where you fit in on that, because it's not going to be long before things start to, you know, close down and be booked up in full. Anyway.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Can't wait. So, you guys want to say goodbye?
Anyway, good people, I'm glad I caught y'all, at least for the last half. I had a pretty long day. Was doing a lot of driving. I'll do more tomorrow. That's why when we, you know, we start really capping this stuff off. I'm gonna have to get tired. But I'm glad to catch everybody. Glad I could jump back in on the tail end. You know, I don't mind me some tail end, but that's between you, me, and all my friends. Anyway, y'all be easy. Stay up.
All right, George.
Peace, love, and hair grease, and go cheek.
Yes, go Chiefs. Yes, yes, yes. All the way to the Super Bowl. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, guys. You've been listening to CB and the Boys. I'm CB. I have my boys, Mr. George Biker Boy Holman, and Mr. Roger Hawkins in the building.
Shimon Thomas could not join us tonight, Sally, but hopefully he will join us in the near future. Mimi Acosta was not able to join us tonight as well, but hopefully she will be back next week for some fun. So we come to you every Wednesday for your midweek motivation here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also catch us streaming live on Facebook as well as YouTube, and you can watch us on Bego Live if you're on Bego Live. And you can catch our playbacks on Apple Podcasts as well as iHeartRadio. And we need everyone to go to those platforms and like us and subscribe, especially on YouTube, on Facebook, as well as iHeartRadio and Apple Podcasts. So definitely find us, like us, and subscribe. CB and the Boys. We'll be back next week for more music, conversation, motivation, laughter, and a whole hell of a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed our show tonight. Thank you so much. Your love and support mean the world to us, and we are so glad that you joined us. We want everyone to take care of yourselves and each other. And remember, you can do anything and be anything you want in this world as long as you work hard, but above all things, believe in yourself and think positive. Remember, if you put positive energy out in the universe, that's what you're going to get back. But if you put negative energy out, unfortunately, that's what you're going to get back. So it's mind over matter. You always want to be positive, never negative. And above all things, love yourself. Remember, true love starts with loving yourself. If you don't love yourself, then how can you expect to love someone else or to give someone else the opportunity to love you if you don't love yourself? So love yourself. Believe in yourself. We believe in you. We love you. Your love and support mean the world to us. Thank you so, so very much. We say it every week, but we love you guys and your support. It means everything. So don't forget to like us and subscribe. If you're an artist and you have some music that you'd like to get played on our show and on our radio station, because we also have a radio station, that's CB and the Boys World Radio. So you can download that to your Android phone, to your computer. Check us out. And if you want to get your music played, you can send your music to our email at cbandtheboys2019@gmail.com. Again, that's cbandtheboys2019@gmail.com. So send us your music, and we will give it a listen. And if it's up to par, then we will play your music on our radio station. So as always, think positive, love yourself, believe in yourself, and we will see you back next week, same time, same station. And to take us home, as always, my favorite group, BTS, and this is the Butter Remix with Megan Thee Stallion. So to take us home, here is BTS featuring Megan Thee Stallion and Butter. So we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
It's the hot girl coach and BTS.
Smooth like butter, like criminal undercover. Don't pop like trouble, breaking into your heart like that. Ooh. Cool shade summer, yeah, owe it all to my mother. Hot like summer, yeah, I'm making you sweat like that.
Break it down.
Ooh, when I look in the mirror, I'm not too hard to do. I got the super tight glow, so ooh.
son. I make a hater stay on their job, and I be on these girls' necks like the back of they bobs. Houston's finest in the room with bouncing. Make them all get ratchet in their suits and blouses. I remember writing flows in my room in college. Now I need global entry to the shows I'm rocking. Smooth like cocoa butter, my drip more than a puddle. They know that I'm the wave. Take over every summer. They must be giving CD if they ever had to wonder. Cause every beat I get on get turned into Hubba Bubba. I'm the nice guy, got the right body and the right mind. Rolling up the party, got the right vibe.
All right.